Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
They are the new American royalty, and they are not even royal or American. They're illegal immigrants, and there's almost nothing they can do that would cause us to send them home. This should scare every American. And we're literally seeing the fulfillment of what politicians said it. Look, the United States of America is going to become a sanctuary country, not just for illegals, it already is, but for the world's criminals. That when you are charged with a crime in your country, and I'm going to include like England, Scotland, Ireland, you know, Dubai, you have a choice. You could either, because they bond you out. In most of these cases, they have some form of our system. They bond you out for almost every crime, for the most part, usually on up to first degree murder. They bond you out, rape, kidnapping, assault, whatever. You just come here. I don't know why you wouldn't. Seriously, why? What idiot would stand trial in their country and go to prison if you could just come here?
Yeah, just.
Why would you? Why would you do that? I mean, it's nonsensical. You'd just come here, and that's what they're going to begin doing. Because it, in our country, what used to happen in this country was, if you were arrested for first degree rape, and you're an illegal immigrant, or you're an American, doesn't matter. You probably get bonded out, right? So they'll put up a bond for you. That's the way it works. And if you're an illegal, ICE would swoop in and pick you up if you happen to make bond. And they'd hold you to your trial. Well, that's not really allowed anymore. In fact, it's not allowed anymore. Even for first-degree rape? Nope. They cannot pick you up and deport you unless you're convicted of an aggravated felony. So that means you commit the crime of first-degree rape under Trump and under Obama. You would have been picked up by ICE to await trial, so you can't hurt Americans. But Americans are second-class citizens now. So now, they let you go. They have to let you go. Wrap your mind around that. They have to let you go. What if you were convicted of first-degree rape in another country? Well, you weren't convicted here? No. Let you go. What if you are out on bond awaiting your trial for first-degree rape in, I don't know, pick a country. Dubai, Ireland, Scotland, whatever. You managed to make it here, and you're an illegal. Can you? Can ICE pick you up? They could have under Obama and Trump, but they can't under Biden. Have to have a conviction in this country, Lee, not another country. Charges in another country, being wanted in another country, still not a reason to pick you up. This is why we are now the world's sanctuary for criminals. We will attract them like a magnet. But as long as they vote Democrat, it's all good.
It would just be interesting to see what would happen if you just reverse those situations, that if you were an American citizen that was accused of a crime like that and you had illegally entered another one of these countries, what would happen to you?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer. It would be interesting. I'm sure more than is happening here now. I mean, this Obama wouldn't even willing to go this far. Now, here's the scary part. Non-priority arrest. So those would be illegals who've committed crimes, but not high ranking crimes, like maybe a DUI, right? They are down more than 80% from under Trump for the period, from 17,810 illegals arrested during this period under Trump down to 3,300. So that gives you an idea how massive the criminal illegal immigrant problem is. Now, priority arrests, those are more serious crimes. Those fell 30%. From 2,771 during this period last year to 1,897 this year. That's really honestly terrifying. What is a priority arrest? Illegals with sexual assault charges, down 20%. Weapons offense arrests, down 30%. Kidnappers, down 40%. Almost 1,000 more worst of the worst criminal aliens were arrested under Trump's priorities, says Jessica Vaughn, Policy Studies Director, Center for Immigration Studies. What that tells me is that paradoxically, it looks like the Biden policies are actually hampering ICE's ability to arrest even the most serious criminals who are a priority. Yeah, because remember, you have to have a conviction, leave for an aggravated felony. Not a felony. Yeah. Aggravated felony. So, you know, you take that car, you kill an American. You're drunk. Oh, well. Out the door you go. Do it again. Please vote Democrat. Are you registered? Did you register? Yeah, we're about to get HR 1 through. So we can't check. Did you register? Yeah, go ahead and register. Have a drink. A smile and another car ride. This is where we are. Americans are completely unprotected right now. By the way, my source of this is Washington Times. And they explain this, Lee. Local prison and jail populations provide the bulk of ICE's arrests. So, again, what'll happen is you have an internationally wanted illegal immigrant. Ireland's looking for him on an attempted murder charge. He's got no criminal record here. He just got pulled and he's driving illegally with no license or whatever. They got to let him go. We used to pick them up at the jail. So it's very safe. He goes from the jail to ICE custody. That's how ICE got most of them.
But now with sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, the states are stopping the federal government from enforcing that, keeping ICE from doing their job. And so, of course,
right
there they go.
So we're a sanctuary country now.
Yeah.
So what was going on before with a lot of these folks was that ICE was being barred from jails and courthouses where they would pick them up. They'd take custody of them, you know, right after, say, a hearing or something like that. You know, in sanctuary Democrat blue areas, ICE was barred from the property, right? But ICE, so what that did was that said, okay, well, the ICE agents could still go to the guy's house, get a beat on where he lives, you know what I'm saying? Figure out, pick him up that way. It was a lot more dangerous for the ICE agents to do it that way in these sanctuary cities, but they could still do it. Now they can't do it at all in any city.
Just want to warn American citizens not to assist anyone in evading authorities, because you will be charged with aiding and abetting.
Yeah, unlike Joe.
Yeah.
Who is aiding and abetting.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's all about tolerance, and if you criticize, you're a racist. Well, no. No, and one of the most eye-opening things I ever did, we had a great sheriff in Charlotte for a long time. He's a Democrat. The only Democrat I've ever voted for, because he was better than the Republican. And he was a conservative, just an old-school conservative Democrat. And every month, he gave me the report on who was in the jail. Mm-hmm. And there is this myth, the illegals, and what country they came from. There is this myth that, well, they're Hispanic and it would be discriminatory. No. No, they're not. It was shocking how diverse the illegal immigrant population was. Absolutely shocking. Ton of Ukrainians in the Mecklenburg County Jail. A lot of Russians.
Right.
Irish. Filipino. Chinese. All kinds of Asians. All brand of Asians. Mm-hmm. Everybody you could imagine. And only about half were Hispanic. Half? Yeah. Because don't forget that the second biggest category for illegal immigration is visa overstays, about 42%. Nobody ever talks about them. And they come here and they commit crimes. They are every race and age and, you know, ethnicity you could possibly imagine from all over the world. And the left likes to use Hispanics as a shield and pretend they're all Hispanics. Well, I'm here to tell you that's just not the case. I was shocked at diversity. I was surprised. I mean, this was my first indication as a reporter. We had this huge Russian-Ukrainian population in Mecklenburg County. I had no idea.
Yeah.
You couldn't see it till you saw the illegal jail populations. So because we don't track these overstays, we have no idea who they are, how many they are. And by the way, we're not picking them up anymore. So, I mean, you come here for a trip to Disneyland. If you want to stay, just stay. We're not going to pick you up. You know what the number one crime was those illegals were picked up for in Mecklenburg County? It was drunk driving. Mm-hmm. 20% of the drunk driving arrests in Mecklenburg County when I was there, month after month like clockwork, were illegal immigrants from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world. So this idea that this is Hispanic and we can't talk about, well, no. I was shocked by how many illegals, and when we finally legalize these people, we're going to find this out, how many of them are from Europe? You don't think of illegal immigrants from Europe. There are a lot of them. We don't even know, Lee. We don't even know. But this just puts so many people. And so, you know, when you're looking at 20% of DUI arrests, a lot of these arrests, I mean, look at their pictures. They're banged up. They've hurt people. In some cases, they had killed people. And you could lop 20% off the top of the DUI problem in Mecklenburg County if we just deport. So the human, that's just one county, Lee. The human toll of this has got to be massive in terms of injuries, maiming, death. I mean, people are going to die because of this.
Well, probably already have.
Oh, I'm sure that daily it's going on. It's going on. It's only going to get worse. This is just the beginning. They're coming from the world over. They are all coming. I'm telling you right now, there are people in Europe who are like getting their visas and coming here because they're not going home. All over the world. That's what wide open borders is. And again, it's not just the crowd coming up through Mexico. Those are the only ones that get the attention. It's from all over the world.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
What is to be gained by allowing those who commit, in order, drug crimes, DUI, low-level assault, fraud, and theft to stay in our country?
Well, this is essentially nationalizing the sanctuary city and state policies that you see in places like California.
Be clear what's happening here. President Biden has declared the entire country a sanctuary jurisdiction, yeah. Which means more tragedies are going to come. Mark my word, people will die, people will be raped. People be victimized by criminals that shouldn't even be here. This is, it's coming. And I, you know, we've been talking about this for 2 years. And it's already started, Steve, because I want to mention one more thing. There's a national sex offender operation plan last week called Operation Talon. They were targeting the arrest of convicted sexual offenders, including child molesters. They canceled the operation on the heels of this memorandum. So it's already started. We have sexual predators who are here illegally walking the streets in our communities because of the actions of this administration.
And it's barely a story. You know, we're watching the whole thing. Riots, all of it. Criminals are getting the upper hand in our society. They're becoming a Democrat privilege group. They have Democrat privilege, liberal privilege. And as such, they are more valued. All right. All this was inevitable, and here it comes. From the UK Daily Mail, did you see this headline? New Yorker who wants to marry their adult biological child sues to overturn laws banning incest, saying it is a matter of individual autonomy. This parent filed the lawsuit in the Manhattan federal court. They're asking a judge to declare incest laws unconstitutional and unenforceable so they can wed their offspring in a ceremony in New York City. Now, the identities of both the parent and the child are not known, with gender, ages, hometowns, nature of their relationship not detailed in the suit. They say it would diminish their humanity if they could not marry. Under New York law, incest is a third-degree felony punishable by up to 4 years in prison. So, according to the suit, both the child and the parent are past reproductive age, so this, they claim, will not result in a pregnancy. I don't know why they didn't throw in that one of them identifies as not the child or the adult or the parent. I just go ahead and identify, and that'll... The proposed spouses are adults. The proposed spouses are biological parent and child. And the proposed spouses are unable to procreate together. God, let's hope so. Here's the new abbreviation for you, folks. Write this one down. According to the suit, the parent and child regard themselves as PAACNP. PAACNP. Parent and adult child, non-procreationable couple. And they believe it would diminish their humanity if they could not marry one another. Oh, this is so great. I can't keep reading this. I'll just read this one line and be done. The claimant argues that the enduring bond of marriage would take the parent and child union to a greater level of expression, intimacy, and spirituality. our society. This is how it all starts, though. We're like, ew, no, gross. And then everybody's going to want to do it. And before you know it, they've got their own series on some television channel. You know, like reality series. And there you go. All right, let's jump on the line. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Everything the left touches, it destroys. I'm sorry that they are affecting female sports. Two can play at this game. However, as far as I'm concerned, the NCAA is canceled. Oh, yeah, from yesterday. Text writes here, with these blue states, all the law enforcement should just walk off the job or go on strike until they get it right. It is not the place for law enforcement to learn how to treat criminals like children, but it is for states to inform the public that you do what the law enforcement officer tells you and there will be no problem and no killing. That is never said. It's never said. I would love to see stats on how many people are fleeing now, like if that's increased. Because almost all of these tragic killings that end up tragic for the person and the law enforcement officer, folks are resisting arrest. And if you would just give it a little while, work it out in court. Nobody has to die. Nobody has to get hurt. Nobody has to be nationally humiliated. Nobody has to be tried. We can all just get along. It's how we all get along. The one thing the media will not speak, do not resist arrest. Please, you put your life in danger and you put the officer's life in danger. On the text line, texter writes, Tara, I take great offense at being called a texter. I do not identify as a texter. I am PCAI, a phone call averse individual. Okay. Thank you for participating in the show on this day. We very much appreciate it. Okay, so the prosecution is weighing in now. The prosecution has rested its case in the George Floyd trial, Derek Chauvin trial, and the defense is up next. So you've only heard from the prosecution so far, which means you've never heard anything like this. This is from National Use of Force expert. He's testified in over 100 trials. His name is Barry Broad. And he brings up what I've been asking. And, you know, if the media would just, when they do articles on this, interview somebody who's outraged and just burnt down a Nike store after stealing all the shoes, sure. But then also interview someone like this. You can get a balanced picture. And the only way that we get it as Americans now is after months of lies by the media and one-sided coverage of cases like this. Finally, we get to court where they can't censor the other side. And you hear it for the first time. Unfortunately, there's already been $500 million worth of damage done just in Minneapolis alone. $2 billion worth of damage to the country before we're ever able to hear the other side. Here it is. Barry Broad has taught in law enforcement academies and schools for over two decades, has been an expert on use of force. This is what he does, nationally respected. So the kind of person the media would never interview or look to for the other side on this. And he is asked, was the level of use of force by Derek Chauvin appropriate?
So in terms of your three-part analysis, did you apply that analysis to this case?
I did.
In your opinion, was this a use of deadly force?
It was not.
Can you explain that?
So I'll give you an example that I used to teach my academy classes. So officers respond to a domestic violence situation, and the suspect is still there, and he fights with the officers, and the officers are justified in using a taser to overcome this person's noncompliance. They tase the individual, and the individual falls to the ground, strikes their head, and dies. So that isn't an incident of deadly force. That's an incident of an accidental death. And in my review, I would look to see whether the suspect's resistance to justify the use of the taser was objectively reasonable.
That's the question. It's not that we like the outcome. It's not that George Floyd was the only one of 237 people that the neck hold was used on over 5 years, 44 of whom were knocked out. He was the only one to die. Was this an appropriate use of force? That's the question. It's not, well, we don't like how it ended, so we're going to send the officer to prison for the rest of his life. Was this objectively an appropriate use of force? And you have to look at it that way, because could the officer have possibly known he had a heart condition? No. Could the officer have possibly known that he had three times the level of fentanyl that is fatal in his system? No. Could he have known he had meth in his system? No. Could he have known that his friends gave him two Percocet to wake him up so he could run for the cops because he was passed out before the cops got there? No. Cop can't be expected to know that. The only question, and this is what I've been saying for months, the only legitimate question here is, was this an appropriate use of force? And most of the country doesn't understand that Chauvin was trained to do this by the person who should be on the stand in cuffs, the person who should be tried, and that is the police chief. Was this an appropriate use of force? Well, he trained his officers to do it. He signed off on 237 incidents of it over 5 years, including 44 cases in which the individual was knocked out. Police chief said nothing about any of it. Fired no one for any of it. And then a guy on three times the lethal limit of fentanyl dies. And the autopsy shows not only did he have a classic drug overdose, but that his lungs weighed twice what they should at autopsy, because they were filled with fluid, a classic sign of fentanyl overdose. So I'm hoping that the defense will really explain this to people, will really show the training slides. And what people are going to see is the example perp in the training slides on their stomach with their hands handcuffed, with the officer's knee on their neck. That is what they were trained to do. At no point ever in the training slides or in the manual does it ever put a time limit on how long you do it for. Ever. That's on the police chief. You know what's weird to me? The police chief, this is crazy, the police chief in the George Floyd case who allowed this neck hold. He's not unusual in that. We had it here in Greenville. We got rid of it the week that George Floyd died. It was used all over the country. The police chief who allowed this neck hold still has a job. But the police chief who oversaw the, what he called, accidental shooting in Minneapolis does not have a job. He resigned. And I think that's fair. Your officer screws up, thought she went for the taser, went for the gun instead. She's yelling, taser, taser. She's pointing the gun. That's the kind of thing you ought to lose your job for. And she did the right thing. She resigned. Police chief resigned too. And we can all see why the police chief would resign there, can we not? Was he there? No. Is he ultimately responsible? Yeah. Yeah, he is. Maybe, you know, maybe that's fair to him, maybe that's not. But that's how it rolls. It rolls downhill. You screw up, you grab the gun instead of the taser, you gotta lose your job. The thing that's bizarre is that Madaria Arredondo still has his job. When he trained Derek Chauvin to do exactly what he did and then threw him under the bus. In fact, it even says in the training manual, when are you to use the unconscious neck hold? The conscious neck hold is only used for restraint. You know, when somebody's fighting, the unconscious neck hold can be used for escalating, you know, need to use your force, but also for drug overdose to save the life of the suspect. It says right there in his training manual. And he walks away scot-free. Scot-free. You know why? He's black and he's liberal. That's why. And nobody ever suggests, or it doesn't even occur to anybody, hey, you know, this is a police chief who signed off on this, who allowed this, who trained his officers to do this. And you know why? Because so much in our society is a lie. It doesn't fit the narrative. If the police chief were in any way responsible in the George Floyd case, that would mean that the white supremacist George Chauvin was Derek Chauvin was not responsible, and that doesn't fit the narrative. This man still has a job. And not once has anyone in the media, not once, ever criticized him, not in the national media, or asked him a question, even during his press conferences. Sir, why, if you were condemning this use of force now, why did you train your officers to do it? Could you explain this slide? I have the slide. How does the media not have the slide? Could you explain this slide? Were you telling the officers, what do you do now? You have him in handcuffs. Put your knee on his neck. Could you explain this, sir? Will you be resigning, sir? And he stands there and criticizes the sergeant. He's trained to do this. His officers didn't do it once. They did it 237 times, 44 knockouts. MMA can't even keep up with that track record. Nothing. It's this standard that is tearing America apart. Not racism. Not systemic racism. This standard is what's tearing America apart. It's the lie. It's the double standard. It's the pass for the one guy who shouldn't get one. This police chief, he should have resigned in shame months ago. If what Derek Chauvin did is so shameful, then he should have resigned. We shouldn't even have to ask for his resignation. He should have also been fired. But he has liberal privilege. And that is what's tearing this country. Serious question. Riots, I don't even think you could call what happened on January 6th a riot. It was an aggravated trespassing, honestly. So, aggravated trespassings, riots, whatever, went seriously out of style around January 6th. They stayed out of style for, I don't know, like 2 months now. I'm just confused. I just want to know. Are riots back in style again? Are they cool, hip, and hot? Property destruction, awesome. Assault, fantastic. Brick upside the head of the law enforcement officer, good news. Played again on Twitter. I'm just trying to understand. I'm trying to figure it out. A question asked today by Front Page Mag, it's a good one. What are the rules again? Are riots a violent insurrection by radical groups, which must be suppressed by any means, or a peaceful protest? Obviously, it depends on who's doing the rioting and where they're doing the rioting. Let's just recap. Let's go back to this weekend. When peaceful protesters, and that's what we call people when they have liberal privilege, peaceful protesters blocked ICE agents inside their federal building in Portland. It's federal building. Blocked them in and then threw Molotov cocktails through the window to set the building on fire. It's a common practice in Portland. They've taken over the ICE building many times. And when they do, they usually resort to attempted murder. This was from this summer. And it was very celebrated. The attempted murder was hot back then. Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler begging the Antifa left-wing thugs to stop trying to kill people.
When you commit arson with an accelerant in an attempt to burn down a building that is occupied by people that you have intentionally trapped inside, you are not demonstrating. You are attempting to commit murder. This is not the first time that people have tried to set fire to a city building with people intentionally trapped inside. Unfortunately, it's not even the second time. And by the
So they did that this week, and it wasn't condemned by a single Democrat because they love it and probably they're funding it. No, it's hot. It's hip. It's cool. So I guess insurrection's out now and peaceful protest is in. And when you attempt to murder the people in the building by blocking them inside, it's all good. And if they're federal officers, it's even better. Do I have this right? Cool. Let's review the last 24 hours, shall we? More hip, hot, awesome displays of violence. Now that it's back in style. Here's a headline. Violent BLM mob breaks into Columbus, Ohio police station. Pepper sprayed the officer after they beat him. It's awesome. Send them cash. Black Lives Matter took over a Dallas restaurant, chanted, we burn blank down, we burn blank down, and they do. Then far-left terrorists lit Portland Police Union building on fire. They didn't try to trap anybody inside this time. No attempted murder yesterday, but I'm sure there'll be more. And we call this peaceful protesting. Joe Biden called it peaceful protest. It was peaceful protest. We used to call it attempted murder, but those were the old days, like way back on January 7th, 8th, and 9th. So now it's peaceful protest. It's back in style, y'all. It's cool. Don't you try it, though. Not if you don't have liberal privilege.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.